As we age and we start to realize the clock is ticking on us, we're in the middle of the fourth quarter, so to speak. You start to realize there is an urgency for me to declare Christ to the next generation.
Growing older is so much more than aches and pains in the morning and slowing down and taking life a little easier. For the believer, it's being able to look back on a life filled with the unwavering faithfulness, goodness, and provision of our sovereign God. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green concludes his series titled As We Grow Older with part two of a message called As the People of God Age. So friend, if you've got your Bible handy, let's join Don now in the Truth Pulpit.
This is the second point of our message. To meet the opportunities of old age with faith. To meet the opportunities of old age with faith, in faith, you could say. Go back to 1 Kings now, in chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. I want to point out something really, really sweet to you. David, in the midst of all of this infirmity, had a privilege and an opportunity that was his that could not have been given to him in any other station of life. In the midst of his age and his physical weakness, David was in a position to talk to his son and give him his dying charge. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says that as David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Beloved, this is really sweet, looking at it from the perspective that we are approaching it with. David's position in his old age with his physical weakness gave him a platform to say things to the next generation that no one else could say with the same level of authority, confidence, and assurance of faith. David's position gave him the opportunity to influence the entire kingdom after he was gone with the words that he was speaking to the incoming king. He tells Solomon, "You give priority to obedience." He lays duty and responsibility before him. He lays opportunity before Solomon with the promise of God's blessing upon him and thus encourages him for the task at hand. So Solomon, here's what you need to do. Solomon, remember the Lord in the midst of it. Remember his promises to you. One commentator says this about this moment as David speaks to Solomon, and I quote, he says, David's word is both a promise and a warning. On the one hand, it promised that Solomon could be a key link in the chain of a grand royal dynasty. On the other, it warned him that disobedience would squander that opportunity. Beloved, as you come to the latter years of life, whether it be to your children, to your grandchildren, whether it be to associates or others that look around and look up to you, maybe a sibling that's a little bit behind you. Beloved, don't stop running before you finish the race. You still have spiritual opportunity before you. You still have spiritual opportunity to give strength and challenge and help to the generation coming after you. And out of love for Christ, vertically speaking, and out of love for those who look to you for influence, who look to you for guidance, who perhaps will mourn greatly and feel your absence when you're gone, to strengthen them and to give them words that would echo in their minds. And that is the opportunity that you have, gray beards, gray hairs. I say it with respect. I truly do. Because you have something, even though our world doesn't value it. Within the kingdom of God, within the church of Jesus Christ, you have something. You have an asset to be spent for the glory of God and for the good of those who come after you. You speak, my Christian brothers and sisters. You speak from maturity. You speak from proven experience. And your opportunity is to use that built-in respect for your age and your proven walk with Christ to have an influence for the kingdom after you're gone. And so we approach our advancing years with this sense. Let me remind you of something. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in that great love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you get to that position in life, you'll know it. I won't put a number on it, but you'll know when that time has arrived for you to start thinking in this way. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things." Beloved, when you become that mature Christian woman, you've born your children and you've raised your family, my brothers in Christ. When you become that man and you have pretty much completed your career, you're far along in it, and your family is raised, and you're in a position of influence, maybe in spiritual leadership in the church, that's the time for you to recognize, you know what? The childish things, the immature things, the things of my younger days that I used to think was important, the things that I used to glory in, it's time for me to put those away, to put away the things, the elements of entertainment and triviality, and to step up to the plate and be a man because I'm not a child anymore. And there are people within the church of Christ, within the people of God, that are looking to me, trying to figure out what this Christian life is all about. And you step up and say, it's time for me to play the man. It's time for me to increase my faithfulness to Christ, to be even more considerate of the needs of the people of God in this position, because God has given me this experience, God has given me this gray hair, and there is an influence that comes with that. There's an opportunity for you, even if you're not going to be around to enjoy the fruit of it, for you to be the influence that gives them the strength of the generation to come, that they would be able to rise up and fulfill their responsibility. And as our brother Dane said to open Sunday morning, to pass that baton. I've had the baton. It was given to me. I ran for a while. I'm coming around the fourth corner on my lap. It's time to hand it off to somebody else who's going to run. And I've got to finish the race. I've got to do it well. I've got to think beyond myself. I have to think beyond my weaknesses. I have to think beyond my own challenges and my own sorrows and rise up to the opportunity that's been given to me here as an older person in the church of Christ. Go back to Psalm 71 with that. You see, there just comes a point where you say, I've got to grow up. I've got to be the man here. I can't be the child any longer. And in verse 17 of Psalm 71, he says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." In Proverbs chapter 16, you don't need to turn there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, it says, "A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. There's a certain opportunity, a certain respect, a certain privilege that comes with age. Recognizing that not everyone will respect it, but that doesn't change the approach that we bring to the task. You see, as we age and we start to realize the clock is ticking on us, we're in the middle of the fourth quarter, so to speak. We're batting and it's in the bottom of the eighth. It's the top of the ninth, to use some sports analogies. You start to realize there is an urgency for me to declare Christ to the next generation. And all of a sudden, these advancing years have been greatly ennobled by the privilege that God has given to you in manifesting His faithfulness to you over decades of life, to give you voice and strength and mind to be in a position to do it, and to realize that this is given to me. This experience, this age, this gray hair has been given to me so that I would use it to whatever influence I could for so that the next generation would be instructed, would be encouraged, would be emboldened to follow Christ. I often think of the old Baptist pastor who's long been with the Lord, Art Martindale, who was with me in my very first Sunday school class that I taught many, many years ago, and just how in his decline, he soon died of a brain tumor and really lost all of the faculties that he had used to teach and study God's Word for so long. But I remember, and I won't repeat them, but I remember some of the words that he said to me. This old man that I had only recently met, talking to me about teaching the Word of God. This was the man who gave me an 800-book edition when he left his library to me. And I still have most of those books in my study. And from time to time, I'll go back to the books that he gave to me, and I'll open them up, and I'll see the extensive notes that he wrote in there as he was studying and making mark on it. And you know what I feel, even though he's been gone for 25 years? I feel a great sense of responsibility to him. I feel a responsibility to take the baton that he in part gave to me and to run with it, for me to be faithful to that because of the things that that man said to me in his final years, almost to his dying breath, as I knelt beside his bed a few days before he would die, and I wasn't even able to speak. He'd lost his capacity to talk. But there was that look of recognition in his eyes. He leaned forward to me from his bed, and in an unspoken way, we were saying goodbye. Well, that impacts me. That influenced me. His kindness, his words, his gifts, his dying example. He knew how to finish well. And beloved, we see that emphasis in Scripture as age brings urgency to us to declare to Christ to the next generation. I'm not as old as Art was then, but I'm older than I've ever been before in my entire life. So are all of you, if you think about it. Do you understand why so often I'll look to the right, to where all those people sit back there, look to some of you toward the front, and I'll call you out, and I'll say, you young people, listen to what I say. Why do you think I do that so very often? It's because I realize that I'm moving into the latter part of life. I'm in the early part of the fourth quarter. I'm not going to be here forever to be able to say that to you. And there's an urgency to it, to declare that to you, that you would hear, that you would listen as I plead with you. Take the Word of God seriously. Respond to Christ. Come to Christ. And if you are in Christ, to be faithful and to serve Him. Because I'm not always going to be here to do that. I don't think that's morbid to think that way. This is reality. This is my opportunity. And so, this is how we think about it. We realize as life goes on, as the gray hairs start to come, we realize, oh, I may not have the physical skills that I used to have or the physical strength, and I may have lost some of my loved ones along the way. But you know what? I'm still standing in the smoke of battle here. I still have a voice. I still have people that will hear me. Even if it's simply just your realm of your family, I have people who will hear me, and I will speak to them from this position of age and experience, trusting God that the life that He has given me, the faithfulness that He has shown to me, gives me a platform that no one else has, and I'm going to maximize it. Trust the Lord for whatever He does with it. That's the opportunity as the people of God age. This is a cherished spiritual opportunity for us to take advantage of. And we can embrace that and trust the Lord for what He does with it after we're gone, to be with Him in glory. But beloved, it's not simply the opportunity of old age that we have. There's also a very special provision that God has given to us in the latter years of our Christian life. We alluded to this last time. I won't dwell on it long here. Ultimately, beloved, the further you go along in your Christian life, more and more you have a lifetime of experience of the faithfulness of God to you personally to draw upon to strengthen your heart when your body fails you. To look back and say, you say, I came to Christ in my early teens. I came to Christ in my early 20s, and now here I am, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And you know what? I look back, I've forgotten 90% of the trials that the Lord has brought me through. The really severe ones, I still walk with a limp, as Jacob walked with a limp after God pressed his finger, so to speak, on his hip. I walk with a limp from the sorrow of some of those things, but you know what? I'm walking. The Lord brought me through that. And I look back over my life, and I see in my 20s, and in my 30s, and in my 40s, and in my 50s, and in my 60s, I see the big picture of how God's faithfulness is displayed in bright colors throughout the whole history of my own life. And you take that as a supplement to the promises of God in the Scripture, and you say, I am in a position of blessing and a position of strength. Whether my remaining years are many or few, I know from my own personal experience that God has a proven track record of being faithful to me. And that, beloved, is something that the new Christian does not have. He has all the same promises. God will be faithful to him. But the new Christian of a year or two doesn't have that track record of experience that you have. And you can rehearse in your mind. You can rehearse in your mind, oh, I remember that one relationship, and the Lord brought me through it. I remember that severe challenge at work. The Lord brought me through it. I remember a new course in life that came to me, and I wondered what in the world was going to happen. And now I look back and I see the fruit of it in ways that I never could have anticipated. It was so much better than I thought. I look and I see how God answered my prayers for the salvation of so many in the circle of my loved ones. And I'm grateful to Him. I've seen God work in so many ways for so long. And that's one of the benefits of your advanced position in the Christian life. You can draw upon that to strengthen your own heart when your body weakens. And if turmoil comes and if enemies assail you and there are disappointments and headaches that come with old age, you step back and you remember Romans 8, where we started. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing ever has. In these past 40 years of walking with Him, nothing ever will. I can move forward even through this. Even as my body fails me, I know that the Lord never will. I can walk through this with confidence, with peace, with trust, with serenity, and deal with duty as the Lord gives me strength. Look at Psalm 71, verse 19. This is the whole perspective. I should have read this at the start, but I didn't. Psalm 71, verse 19. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. God, I have been down this road 1,000 times before, and 1,000 times you've delivered me. Here's 1,001. You know what? You're going to deliver me again, because that's who you are. You are righteous, you are faithful, you are good to your people, and you never leave us or abandon us. As the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, Lord, I know, lo, you are with me always, even to the end of the age. That's the voice of maturity speaking. That's the opportunity that you have in your advanced years. God, you have done great things. You have brought me through trials. You have not changed. You will keep me to the end. You will continue the work even after I am gone. I have nothing to fear. And so while age brings its challenges, it also affords you unique opportunities and benefits. Beloved, let me remind you as we close, as we advance in life, we are following our faithful Christ who faced death itself and came out safe on the other side. This same Christ, this same Jesus said in John 14, verse 19, because I live, you will live also. You are joined to Christ in perfect union with Him, and He is resurrected. He is raised from the dead. That means for those of us that are in Him, the same outcome is ours as well. And therefore, we look forward to glory. We're not intimidated by old age. We're realistic with it, but we're not intimidated. We look to Christ and we find our confidence. And so what do we do? How do we respond to all of that? Let me read 1 Corinthians 15:58 as we close. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. What does the man of God, the woman of God do in response to all of these things? Verse 58, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, give us the grace and strength we need to run the race well and to run it all the way to the conclusion, Father, to never stop running that race until you call us home. We'll need your grace, we'll need your strength, we'll need your comfort along the way. But Father, knowing that the Spirit indwells us, knowing that Christ has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, that He is with us always, even to the end of the age, that the one who suffered and bled and died on the cross did so in order to redeem us completely, never to leave us. Father, we look to Christ and we say, help us to be faithful until the end. Give us grace for the trials that await us, and give us strength and an eagerness and an ability to meet the opportunities that will be ours later in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We should rejoice in the never-ending faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ as we face the challenges, opportunities, and benefits of growing older. You've been listening to The Truth Pulpit with Pastor Don Green, and we're just about out of time for today. We do hope you'll be with us for our next broadcast. But before we go, Don, would you summarize the lessons we've learned in this series?
Because Christ is faithful to you as a Christian, your older age gives you an advantage that younger people don't have. You have a lifetime of experience of the faithfulness of God to strengthen your heart when your body weakens and when your mind starts to forget things the way that happens in older age. Know that you can go to Christ and tell him that you have done great things for me, O Lord. You have brought me through many trials in my life. And my friend, here's where you make the bridge to even greater faith. You tell the Lord and you believe in your heart this, O Christ, you have not changed, and I know that you will keep me to the end. You will perfect the work that you began in me, and you will continue to do your work even after I am gone. And so, my friend, I just would encourage you to have this confidence of faith in Christ. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, Don. And friend, be sure to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn much more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.